Welcome, brave souls, to our scary stories. In the quiet corners of reality, where shadows dance and whispers linger, we bring you tales that chill the spine and unsettle the mind. Tonight, we journey to Hallowbrook, where sweetness hides a sinister secret. Lock your doors, dim your lights, and let the tale of the bewitched apples begin. The quaint town of Hallowbrook rested like an untouched painting. An image of serenity amidst a world of rapid changes. Golden and crimson leaves, reminiscent of an artist's perfect strokes, danced gracefully in the gentle breeze. The streets, dotted with age-old stone houses and cottages, bore witness to the generations that had walked them. Every corner and alley whispered stories of old, memories of simpler times, and promises of a season filled with joy and a hint of mischief. The heart of Hallowbrook was undeniably Mary's confectionery. The shop, an emblem of tradition, stood proudly with its wooden facade and a signboard which, over the years, had faded just enough to add character. The tinkling bell at the entrance had greeted countless guests over the decades. Today, it announced the presence of a young lady whose eyes sparkled with curiosity. This was Chloe, a journalist with a nose for stories that hid beneath the ordinary. She was in Hallowbrook chasing rumors, legends, and the essence of the season, Halloween. As Chloe stepped into the confectionery, the aroma of sweets and baked goods enveloped her, instantly transporting her to childhood memories of festive seasons. She observed Mary, a middle-aged woman with salt and pepper hair tied neatly into a bun, her hands expertly coating apples with caramel. There was a grace in Mary's movements, a practiced elegance that only years of dedication could bestow. "Looking for a treat, dear?" Mary asked without looking up, her voice a soft melody, echoing years of serving treats to children and adults alike. "I've heard quite a bit about your special caramel apples," Chloe replied, her tone playful. "Rumors say they're unlike any other." Mary smiled, her blue eyes twinkling. "Ah, every year I try something new. Halloween deserves our best, after all." Just then, the door tinkled again, admitting a man with spectacles perched on his nose, his face lined with years of reading and research. Ben, the town's beloved historian, gave Chloe a nod of acknowledgement. "Mary, preparing for another record-breaking season." "We'll see," Mary answered, her voice betraying a mix of pride and a secret she wasn't ready to reveal. Ben picked up an apple, examining it. "There's talk about town regarding these. They say there's magic in them." Chloe's ears perked up at this. "Magic." Ben chuckled. "Oh, every good story has a bit of magic, doesn't it? It's the season of tales and myths. And in Hallowbrook, we take our stories very seriously." The atmosphere inside Mary's confectionery was a blend of sweetness, anticipation, and an undercurrent of mystery. As dusk began to paint the town in shades of twilight, the three individuals, each holding secrets and tales of their own, unknowingly stood at the precipice of a story that Hallowbrook would whisper about for generations to come. Hallowbrook's Halloween festival was the stuff of legends. As night blanketed the town, lanterns adorned every house, casting an orange glow on the streets, illuminating the shadows. Children, dressed in an array of costumes, witches, goblins, heroes, and myths, laughed and darted from door to door, their voices a merry contrast to the chill in the air. At the town square, stalls had sprung up overnight. There were games, goods, and food from all over the region. But amidst them all, one stall drew the largest crowd. The sign read, "Mary's Special Caramel Apples," and the line stretched farther than the eye could see. Whispers of the apple's unique taste fluttered from person to person, creating an anticipation that was almost electric. Among the gathered crowd was Mayor Thompson, a tall figure with graying hair, known for his stern demeanor and dedication to the town. His reputation was built on years of trust, making his next actions all the more shocking. Taking an apple from Mary's stall, he bit into it, the caramel sticking to his teeth. For a moment, he just stood there, the juices of the apple dripping down his chin. Then, his usually stern eyes took on a glassy sheen. Walking to the center of the square, he began speaking, his voice louder and more fervent than anyone had ever heard. "Hallowbrook, these apples are not just any treat. They are a blessing, and we owe our deepest gratitude to Mary for this gift." He paused, taking another bite, then proclaimed, "I pledge my allegiance to Mary and her magical confectionery." A murmur ran through the crowd. Friends exchanged puzzled glances, unable to reconcile the mayor's bizarre behavior with the man they knew. Was this some sort of performance or a joke in the spirit of Halloween? From the edge of the square, Chloe watched with keen interest. The journalist in her sensed something amiss. She made her way discreetly towards Mary's stall, trying to observe any other strange reactions. A few stalls down, she saw Ben, scribbling hurriedly in a small notebook. Their eyes met, and he nodded slightly, indicating he too had noticed the anomaly. Chloe approached him. "Ben," she whispered, "this isn't normal, is it?" Ben looked up, adjusting his glasses. "Hallowbrook has its share of mysteries, Chloe. But today, it seems we might be witnessing the birth of a new one." Chloe, ever the curious journalist, decided she needed answers. "Then let's unravel it, shall we?" With the mayor's unexpected allegiance to Mary and her confectionery, the festival took on a new tone. What was meant to be a night of joy and celebration now had an underlying current of mystery and trepidation. The story of Hallowbrook's Halloween was taking a turn none had anticipated. The festivities continued, but with every passing hour, the atmosphere grew heavier. Lanterns flickered as if struggling to keep the darkness at bay, while costumed children now seemed to move with a sense of haste, their laughter replaced by low murmurs. At Mary's stall, a steady stream of townsfolk eagerly devoured the caramel apples. And as they did, a transformation became evident. Their movements became synchronized, their eyes bearing that same glazed look Mayor Thompson exhibited. Like marionettes attached to invisible strings, they periodically chant in unison, "All hail Mary and her blessings." Chloe watched from a distance, trying to mask her growing concern. Slipping through the crowd, she reached Ben, who was engrossed in a dusty old tome. "This is spreading faster than we thought," she whispered. Ben glanced up, his face etched with worry. "I've been trying to find any record of such a phenomenon in Hallowbrook's history." He paused, turning pages until he stopped at an old illustration. The image depicted a woman who bore a striking resemblance to Mary, standing amidst a crowd of townsfolk, all bowing to her. "The tale goes back centuries," Ben began, his voice shaky. "A witch named Marian was said to have settled in Hallowbrook. She was benevolent, often helping the town with her knowledge of herbs and natural remedies. But when a love affair went awry, she was scorned and betrayed by the very people she had aided." Chloe leaned in, reading the faded text. "It says here that in her wrath, Marian cursed the town. By the fruit of the tree, your wills shall belong to me." The implications were clear. If the story held any truth, Mary's caramel apples were more than just a festive treat. They were a medium of an ancient curse. Ben sighed, closing the book. "It said the curse lasted a single night, but by dawn, Marian had vanished, leaving the town in disarray." Chloe's brow furrowed in thought. "But why now? Why would this curse resurface after all these years?" "That," Ben murmured, "is what we need to find out." As the duo delved deeper into the lore, the town square echoed with synchronized chants. Time was running out, and the mystery of the bewitched apples was only beginning to unfold. The night was far from over, and the town of Hallowbrook had yet to face its greatest challenge. The golden hues of the lanterns casting an ambient glow against Hallowbrook's cobblestone streets were now overshadowed by the looming confectionery. Its windows, previously inviting with warm lights, were now dark, save for a single candle's glow that beckoned from deep within. Each night since the festival, like clockwork at midnight, Chloe and Ben noticed a procession. Bewitched townsfolk, their faces eerily placid, made their way to Mary's confectionery. The sight was haunting. They moved silently, their steps synchronized, drawn to the confectionery like moths to a flame. From their vantage point, Chloe and Ben observed the eerie gatherings. It seemed that inside the confectionery, the townsfolk took directives from Mary. Although they couldn't hear the exact words, Mary's animated gestures and the townsfolk's nods of agreement made it evident that she was orchestrating something on a grand scale. One night, taking a gamble, Chloe dared to get closer, pressing her ear against a slightly ajar window. She caught fragments of Mary's speech. "Marian's legacy, rightful vengeance, control of Hallowbrook, every soul pledged to me." Retreating swiftly, Chloe shared her findings with Ben. "Mary is channeling Marian's anger. She's planning something big, Ben. We have to stop her." Ben nodded gravely. "We need to find a way to break this curse. Every night, more townsfolk join her. Soon, we might be the only ones left." The duo started their quest in earnest, searching old records, seeking out elders, and even daring to explore forbidden parts of Hallowbrook. They were desperate for a solution. Every clue, every old tale, was a potential lead. During their investigations, they stumbled upon an old rhyme. By the fruit of the tree, she captures thee. By the bloom of the flower, break her power. Could the solution be hidden within these lines? With the gravity of their situation pressing on them and the weight of an entire town's future in their hands, Chloe and Ben embarked on a new mission to find the flower that could potentially save Hallowbrook from Mary's vengeful grip. The ancient map was brittle, its edges frayed, and the ink faded. Yet, amidst its delicate state, the details of Hallowbrook and its surroundings were intricately detailed. There, towards the northeastern border, lay a depiction of an orchard with an insignia resembling Marion's profile. Ben's fingers traced the path from the town center to the orchard. This might be where Marion sourced her apples. If that rhyme is to be believed, then perhaps the orchard also holds the flower we seek. The journey to the orchard was not an easy one. Though the map indicated its location, the forest surrounding it had grown wild and unwelcoming. Thick brambles hindered their path, and a dense mist clung to the ground, making visibility a challenge. But it wasn't just the physical hurdles that they had to contend with. As they delved deeper into the orchard, ghostly figures began to emerge from the mist. Ethereal and almost translucent, these apparitions whispered incoherent words, their voices a mixture of sorrow and anger. Chloe gripped Ben's arm tightly as one apparition, a young woman with tearful eyes, reached out to her, her voice echoing, "Beware the heart of the orchard." Determined, the duo pressed on, their steps hurried, their breaths labored. The deeper they ventured, the more intense the challenges became. Trees seemed to close in on them, their branches twisting like gnarled hands trying to grasp. The wind carried hushed lullabies that seemed both calming and chilling at the same time. Finally, they reached the heart of the orchard. There, bathed in a patch of moonlight, stood a single apple tree, its branches heavy with gleaming, ruby-red apples. At its base, a lone flower with silver petals and a luminescent core shimmered. Ben, recalling the rhyme, knelt to carefully pluck the flower. "By the bloom of the flower, break her power," he murmured. Suddenly, the orchard came alive. The wind howled, and the ghostly apparitions converged, forming a protective barrier around the tree. Chloe, holding the flower tightly, shouted over the gusts, "We mean no harm. We seek to free Hallowbrook from a curse." The spirits hesitated, their faces contorting with confusion and recognition. A moment of tense silence ensued, and then, as if carried by the wind, a voice whispered, "Protect the bloom, for it is the key. But remember, its power is not free." With the flower in their possession and a cryptic warning echoing in their ears, Chloe and Ben made their way out of the forbidden orchards, ready to face the challenges that lay ahead. Nestled among a thicket of bramble, just beyond the heart of the orchard, stood a wooden cabin. Its timbers were aged and moss-clad, yet the structure held a mystical allure. The air was thick with a mingling scent of old wood and herbs. Hesitantly, Chloe and Ben approached, pushing open the creaky door to reveal the cabin's interior. The room was dimly lit by a soft, otherworldly glow emanating from crystalline jars filled with phosphorescent substances. Shelves upon shelves of vials, dried herbs, and peculiar artifacts covered the walls, each hinting at a tale of ancient magic. On a worn wooden desk lay a leather-bound diary, its pages yellowed by time. Etched onto its cover was a symbol, much like the one they'd seen on the map, Marion's profile. Ben carefully opened the diary, revealing neat, cursive handwriting. It began with Marion's reflections on her love for Hallowbrook and its people, her desires to use her powers for their benefit, and her experiments with spells and potions. As they delved deeper, the tone grew darker. She wrote of betrayal, of whispers in the dark, and of a town turning its back on her. She spoke of love lost and the heartbreak of being branded a witch. Toward the diary's end, the writings took on a frantic tone. Marion detailed her plans for a powerful spell, one that would ensure her memory would never fade from Hallowbrook. Alongside the spell, there were notes on a counterspell. Chloe read aloud, "To release from thrall those bound by apples, call. Combine the bloom of midnight's glow, tears of the one who knows true woe, and the feather of a raven, black as coal." "We have the bloom," Ben remarked, "but the tears and the feather, where will we find them?" The room suddenly grew colder, and the pages of the diary fluttered to reveal a pressed raven feather, its black sheen untouched by time. A soft, haunting voice filled the room, "One ingredient you have found, but the tears are not around. In the heart of the town they lay, where memories of betrayal stay." Chloe and Ben exchanged glances, realizing that their next stop would be the heart of Hallowbrook. With Marion's diary and the raven's feather, they set out, knowing the most challenging part of their journey awaited them. The streets of Hallowbrook bustled with a mix of excitement and an undercurrent of unease. Decorative pumpkins and cobwebs adorned every corner, with children gleefully donning their costumes. Yet, amidst the festivities, Mary's thrall seemed ever-present, watching, waiting. As they approached the town square, the duo could see preparations underway for the grand feast. Long wooden tables were being set up, laden with all manner of Halloween delicacies. At the head of it all stood a grand table, upon which lay a tray filled with the bewitching caramel apples. Ben turned to Chloe, his voice filled with urgency. "I'll go to the town's memorial fountain. The statue there commemorates the betrayal of Marion. It's said to be the very spot where she shed her last tear. If there's any truth to the legend, that's where we'll find the tears of true woe." Chloe nodded, determination flashing in her eyes. "I'll see if I can stall this feast. Buy us some time." Ben darted off, blending into the maze of streets, while Chloe, armed with her journalist instincts, approached the main table, feigning excitement. "Mary, the town is abuzz with your feast. Tell me, what's the inspiration behind it? The readers would love an exclusive insight." Mary, flattered and always in the mood for praise, paused. "Ah, Chloe, always looking for a story. Very well," she began, her eyes gleaming malevolently. "Centuries ago, Hallowbrook turned its back on one of its own. Tonight, we celebrate unity, binding the town's spirit once and for all." Seizing the opportunity, Chloe pressed further, and the apples, they seemed to be the highlight. "Do tell me, how do you make them? Perhaps a live demonstration for the town." Mary hesitated, her eyes narrowing slightly. "Very well," she conceded, "but only because the town deserves to know the effort behind my craft." As Mary began her demonstration, the townsfolk gathered around, entranced. Chloe subtly sabotaged elements here and there, ensuring that the process was drawn out. Meanwhile, Ben reached the memorial fountain. The statue depicted a sorrowful Marion, her eyes downcast. Kneeling beside it, he whispered a plea, "Marion, if the tales are true, help us undo the harm. Lend us your tear so that Hallowbrook may be free." A single crystalline tear rolled down from the statue's eye, dropping into Ben's waiting palm. With the missing ingredient secured and the feast delayed, the duo prepared for the climax, aware that the battle for Hallowbrook's soul was just beginning. Night draped its dark veil over Hallowbrook. The town square was illuminated by a thousand lanterns, but beyond its reach, the shadows reigned supreme. The waxing moon painted silver strokes on the landscape, heralding the rise of Halloween's magic. While Chloe kept watch on the town's activities, Ben delved deep into Marion's diary for clues about the silver blossom. The pages spoke of a secluded glade, untouched by time, where the rare flower bloomed under the caress of the Halloween moon. Guided by the moonlight and the whispers of the diary, Ben made his way towards the Hallowbrook Woods, its trees like tall sentinels guarding ancient secrets. The deeper he ventured, the denser and more foreboding the woods became. Skeletal branches reached out, brushing against him like bony fingers. The air grew cold and thick with mystery. Suddenly, a low growl broke the silence. Emerging from the shadows were guardians, creatures made of twisted roots and vines, their eyes glowing a fierce green. They moved with purpose, blocking Ben's path. Drawing from the knowledge he had amassed over the years, Ben quickly scattered salt around him in a protective circle. The guardians hesitated, the salt forming a barrier they could not cross. With the guardians momentarily at bay, Ben continued his search, traversing steep inclines and crossing whispering brooks. Finally, he reached the heart of the woods, a clearing bathed in the soft glow of the moonlight. And there it was, a singular flower with petals as radiant as polished silver, glistening under the moon's tender gaze. The silver blossom stood tall, its beauty both ethereal and mesmerizing. However, as Ben approached, the ground trembled beneath him. Vines erupted, attempting to ensnare him, while the very air around him seemed to resist his advance. Drawing on his resolve and the urgency of their mission, Ben whispered words from Marion's diary, a chant to quell the guardians of the glade. As the last word left his lips, the vines retracted, and the air grew still. With utmost reverence, Ben reached down and plucked the silver blossom, its cool petals brushing against his skin. With the final ingredient in hand, he made his way back to Chloe, their hope rekindled and the decisive moment drawing near. The heart of Hallowbrook was bathed in an amber glow, the town square transformed into a hauntingly festive stage for the Halloween feast. Paper lanterns in the shape of ghouls and goblins dangled from every eave, swaying in the gentle autumn breeze. Long tables draped in black and orange were laden with harvest delights. But at the center of it all stood a grand pedestal, showcasing Mary's bewitched caramel apples, glistening in their treacherous allure. Mary, draped in a gown that seemed woven from the very shadows of the night, held court, her every whim answered by those under her spell. Her laughter, eerily melodic, echoed through the square, leaving a chill in its wake. Chloe, her journalist badge prominently displayed, mingled with the crowd, her voice filled with nostalgic warmth as she began sharing tales of Halloween's gone by. "Do you remember," she began, her words weaving a tapestry of memories, "when the children would race down the streets, their laughter mingling with the rustling of fallen leaves?" One by one, the entranced townsfolk, though under Mary's thrall, found themselves pausing, their minds tickled by fragments of happier times. "And the old barn," Chloe continued, "where we'd share ghost stories, each trying to outdo the last, until the candles burned low and the night embraced us in its comforting shroud." The distractions worked. The feast was delayed, the crowd's attention divided. And just as Mary began to sense something amiss, as her gaze turned suspiciously towards Chloe, a frantic rustling announced Ben's arrival. With the silver blossom clutched tightly in hand, he sprinted to the center of the square, meeting Chloe's determined gaze. The two converged, and with a shared nod, began chanting the words inscribed in Marion's diary. The air grew thick with anticipation. Each syllable they uttered seemed to echo with the weight of centuries, and as the final words hung in the air, Ben crushed the silver blossom, releasing its essence. A brilliant light, pure and blinding, erupted from where the flower's remnants fell, enveloping the entire square. The light seemed to pulse with life, its radiance touching everyone and everything. And as quickly as it had come, it faded, leaving the town square bathed in the gentle glow of the lanterns once more. The brilliance of the night faded to a dim afterglow, but what remained was an even more potent light, the collective consciousness of a town reborn. Eyes that once held a vacant stare now brimmed with recognition and relief. Whispers of confusion and wonder spread across the square like wildfire, as neighbors, friends, and families embraced, their bonds stronger for having weathered the storm together. Mary, standing solitary amidst the crowd, felt a storm of emotions brewing within her. She was surrounded by the remnants of her dark deeds, yet the clarity of her current state made those memories seem like a distant nightmare. Her hands trembled as she considered the gravity of her actions. But as she looked up, her eyes met those of Chloe and Ben. Instead of judgment, they offered understanding and compassion. Tears streamed down Mary's face, each droplet carrying with it the weight of her regret. "I don't know how," she whispered, her voice thick with emotion, "or why, but I feel the depth of what I've done. How can I ever make amends?" The days that followed saw Hallowbrook reborn. Buildings were repaired, and the laughter of children once again echoed through the streets. And at the heart of this renaissance stood Mary's confectionery. Gone were the lavish displays and decadent treats. In their place stood rustic tables, chairs, and open doors that welcomed everyone. The confectionery transformed into a haven, a community center where memories were shared and new ones created. As the wheel of time turned and another Halloween approached, the townsfolk gathered in the square. Lanterns shone bright, casting a warm and inviting glow. But this year, the tales told were not of ghosts and goblins. Instead, they recounted the story of a town that faced the darkness and emerged stronger, bound by shared trials and undying hope. Chloe, her notebook in hand, wrote diligently, capturing every nuance of the new legend of Hallowbrook. As she penned the final lines, she looked up to see Mary, her face no longer marred by shadows, offering caramel apples to the children. They were simple, wholesome, and free from enchantment. Yet, they carried with them the most potent magic of all, the power of redemption and the promise of a brighter tomorrow. And so, the darkness of Hallowbrook's tale fades, but the chill it leaves behind remains. Remember, dear listeners, stories have a way of becoming more real with every telling. Until next time, keep your eyes open, your heart guarded, and remember, not every story has truly ended. Sleep tight. This is our Scary Stories signing off for tonight.